Hey, see Sparky Pfeiffer back here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. From the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios, being joined now by a longtime friend. And I feel kind of bad because I kind of replaced his show here on this radio station. And that, of course, is my good buddy Zach Gelb of the Infinity Sports Network. Zach, how are you doing, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and all I'll say is when I was on that station, the Bucks won a championship. Yeah. Since then, you haven't brought any championships, so you better get going.
Yeah, so the Brewers have to win a championship and beat the Mets tonight. I think that's what has to happen then, Zach.
It's a possibility they beat the Mets tonight. A championship? I would pump the brakes there, my friend.
I got some mojo for you here. How about this? There's a brand new movie/documentary out that's really good. It's 2 hours long. It runs at Marcus Theaters in Wisconsin. There's some in Illinois and so forth, called Just a Bit Outside, a story of the 1982 Brewers when they went to the World Series and they lost to the St. Louis Cardinals and then came back to Milwaukee and had a parade with like a million people celebrating them like they had won the World Series even though they had lost. All culminating at County Stadium, Robin Yount riding his motorcycle and the whole deal. So that's been out here for now going on 4 weeks. So all these guys have come back and have been doing interviews and talking, and Robin Yount is throwing out the first pitch tonight for the game. The Brewers haven't come from behind after the seventh inning since game four of the 1982 World Series. And, well, looky here, they did it last night. I don't know, man. I'm just saying there seems to be some mojo maybe going on here.
So usually I'm a positive voice in Milwaukee, but I will say with this one, I just experienced something similar with the New York Rangers hockey, and they had that 30 for 30 coming out of the summer of 94, and everyone's making the 94 parallels and telling me this is the year the Rangers were going to win the Cup, and the Rangers blew a lead to the Florida Panthers, and they didn't end up winning the Stanley Cup. They lost in the conference final. So all that stuff, even though we make it feel like it means something, it really means nothing.
What about David Stearns, the former president of baseball operations and GM for the Milwaukee Brewers that they hired to replace Doug Melvin all those years ago and kind of put this Brewers franchise continuing on the right track where Doug Melvin had it and probably could say took it to another level. How has that gone for him in that New York market? Obviously, he's from there, so he knew what he was getting himself into as far as how he's been accepted, criticized, and otherwise since he's been with the Mets.
I think he's been phenomenal. And I think what a lot of people forget here, this was designed, no matter what the Mets say, no matter what David Stern says right now, this was kind of a punt year for the New York Mets. And early on, the first 2 months into the season, this team looked like a disaster. And we were talking about them being sellers at the deadline. And they didn't really buy at the deadline, but what Stearns, to his credit, has done is in past regimes with the Mets, whenever someone would stink and it would be obvious they're not made for New York, the previous regimes would just keep throwing out the same guys. Stearns isn't afraid to cut bait with guys who aren't carrying their own weight. So that's what I've been impressed by. And really, we're going to see what David Stearns could do because we know he's a brilliant baseball mind. You guys know that being in that market. But now with the resources this offseason, when Steve Cohen says, here's my checkbook, go spend whatever you want, I'll be fascinated to see if he starts to have a big-time approach. Because, you know, when you're in a smaller market, you have to design a team a certain way, which we all respect. But now he's taken that approach to lay the foundation this year. And in this upcoming offseason, whether that starts tonight or in a few days from now or a few weeks from now, maybe, then we'll get to see what David Stearns is really made out of with some big resources.
When we say, here's a checkbook, go do what we want. Well, go do what you want, David Stearns. Does he get to go do like what the Dodgers do, what he wants? So like to that extent he can go?
Steve Cohen wants to win a championship in the worst way. Steve Cohen, remember, they put a Steve Cohen tax in Major League Baseball pretty much right now.
Right.
I think Steve Cohen will do whatever it takes to go in the World Series. I'm not going to say that he's going to throw $500 at Juan Soto and then go throw $300 million for Corbin Burns, but I do think he has a lot of freedom to use and spend Steve Cohen's money because, let's be real, this is a hobby. For Steve Cohen. He's done this because his family and his wife and his wife's father are Mets fans, right? This is a hobby for Steve Cohen, and I'm very happy that the owner of the Mets is Steve Cohen right now.
Okay, so let's talk about a guy that I thought used to be like a superhero in New York, a guy that was the star of the home run derby in Pete Alonso, pending free agent. Man, I'm seeing these barstool guys going off and ripping Alonso. Mets fans are all mad at Alonso. So has Alonso completely fallen out of favor in New York?
It's 50-50 right now because, remember, they offered him a contract that was fair before the start of the season. He wanted to go bet on himself, which everyone has the right to do. And I know you can look at his numbers from afar and be like, oh, what are Mets fans really irate about? The guy doesn't come up with a clutch hit. The guy at times looks lost at the plate. So I'm at a point where I still think Alonso will be back next year because his market value is going to come down because he's had a very mediocre season, and it's a problem in this series when his glove has been better than his bat, and we saw him not come through last night with the man on second base when the Mets could have used some insurance there to build this lead with how disastrous their bullpen is. But I do think a lot of Mets fans are now content if Pete Alonso was to get a crazy offer this offseason from, I don't know, like let's say the Cubs or whoever. I'm just throwing out random teams, you know, the Red Sox, the Astros, whoever it may be. I think Mets fans are fine saying, okay, Pete's good, but he's not very good. He's not great. And he is the guy tonight that he needs a big hit for the Mets in the absolute worst way. All season long, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Go earn your money, Pete. We want to root for you. And he keeps on letting down the Mets fans.
Jose Quintana gets a start tonight, Zach Gelb. He has a 2.98 ERA in 22 career starts against this Brewers baseball team and has been pitching well lately. I would assume there is some confidence behind this decision to start him going into this game, or would they rather have had McGill starting?
Quite frankly, I'd rather have Peterson starting if I was looking at this, but I have no problem throwing Quintana out there tonight. The bottom line is, when the Mets have guys in scoring position, they need to capitalize. Yep. And I know you can't capitalize on every situation, but almost every situation. Because this bullpen, you saw it last night, even when things were looking like it was going for the Mets' way, a one-run lead for the Mets is basically like having no lead with how bad this bullpen could be. And this bullpen definitely gives them some heart attacks. But this team, it's been resilient all year. I can't tell you how many times watching every inning of this team where I thought this team's season was over, it was done. And whenever you start to think that way, they have a bounce back moment. Hey, let's be real. We know all the pressure's on the Brewers tonight. This is gravy the rest of the way for the Mets. They were not expected to be here. I know the Brewers were a little bit of a different feel going into this season. They overachieved from what people thought as well. But where we were, where the regular season ended, yeah, the Brewers are expected to win this series. So let's see if the Mets can make it happen tonight.
It's interesting because I think a lot of people thought coming into this, well, either the pressure is going to get to the Brewers because they're so young and they really haven't experienced this yet as far as playoffs go. And then the other one was, you know, they're too young and too dumb to know what really is going on, and they may still play loose and free and not know the difference. And if you look at the Baltimore Orioles, also a very young team, they fell all over themselves and couldn't hit and lost that series quickly. And the Brewers were on their way to doing the same thing until this 20-year-old phenom, Jackson Chourio, decided to say, hey, just come with me. I'll show you the way and take over, which was remarkable last night.
It absolutely was. And that was the moment, really the first time this season, I could say, where there's probably legitimate big-time pressure on the Brewers nationally. And it looked like they were about to go down. I was a little bit surprised how quickly people were already writing the eulogy on the Brewers season and thinking that the Mets were automatically going to advance after winning game one. I'm like, guys, I've watched this Mets team my entire life. Nothing is ever a guarantee with this baseball team. But to see the way that he bounced back and really carried that team last night early on and then obviously late to go tie the game, that's what you needed. And that's what can really start to ignite a team and maybe get the pressure off their back where now they walk into the stadium today feeling a little loose. But hey, if they go down early or if they go down and then late in the game, it's a big pressure moment. You never know how it gets to people. So sometimes we overrate that. Sometimes we'll even underrate it a little bit. I guess it's just dependent on each individual. But last night, when the Brewers had their backs up against the wall, they definitely understood the assignment and they headed out of the park.
I saw a poll question, Zach Gelb, from WIP in Philadelphia with our friend Spike Eskin's afternoon show. And they were asking, as far as who would you rather play here, the Phillies or the Brewers or the Mets? And I went down and I looked at all the comments and pretty much everybody was saying they'd rather deal with the Brewers. They'd rather lose to the Brewers than a red hot New York Mets team going in there. So from a Phillies fan's perspective, they're actively saying they'd rather face the Brewers than the Mets. But realistically, how do either one of these teams set up here the rest of the way if and when they get by the other?
So let me try to get the understanding of the Philly fan to the listening audience. We've seen recently the Phillies be that quote-unquote underdog team, and then the Braves were like the big bad team in the NL East, and the Phillies sent the Braves home packing. So I'm going to assume, especially with how the Mets played Philadelphia in the last series where they took 3 out of 4 at Citi Field, that maybe, even though the Mets don't have the same star power as the Phillies do around the entire lineup, maybe the Philly fan has seen a little bit of themselves in the Mets and what they've done the last few years. But we talk about pressure, Sparky. Hey, whoever gets out of this series tonight, whether it's the Mets win or the Brewers win, they're not expected to win the next series. So I could see maybe why I'm not saying the culture's bad in Milwaukee or the energy's bad in Milwaukee or there's not a vibe, but the Mets really in the last month have kind of seen so many of those comebacks in that certain vibe, and the Philly fans paid more attention to the Mets than the Brewers.
Right.
That's probably why I think the Philly fan probably feels that way. But whoever advances here, it's going to be tough for the Phillies. But, yes, there's no doubt about it. The Phillies are expected to win that series.
There he is, Zach Gelb. Follow him on Twitter at Zach Gelb, Infinity Sports Network. You can always listen to him on the Odyssey app. He's on the same time as this show from 2 to 5 p.m. Therefore, we are recording this, obviously, before our show this afternoon, both of our shows this afternoon. Zach, thanks so much for coming on. One last thing. What's your pick for tonight?
You know what? I'm going to be negative here. Brewers win 3-1. I'm going to try to do this reverse Bart Winkler jinx that he threw on me last night when he texted me that the Mets are definitely winning this game. And the moment he said that, I knew that the Brewers were going to win it, and I told him to go bleep himself after the game. But here's what I'll also say, C. Sparky Pfeiffer. Since you took the time slot I was on in Milwaukee, I want something back in return. I need some of those Wendy burgers that you always talk about, my friend.
Hey, man. Wendy's is the absolute best, man. Frosties, they got the Cinnabon pull-aparts going on over there. I love the double stacks, all about the double stacks. I'll have three, four.
Stop being cheap.
I thought you were like on a diet or something, man. I saw a picture of you. You look like you lost like 100 pounds.
Pretty close. I've lost 90 pounds. But, yeah, I am on a diet. It doesn't mean I still can't be fat once in a while, all right?
Sounds good, buddy. I'll take care of you. There he is, Zach Gelb. Biggest calves in America, Zach Gelb claims. Zach, thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you.